The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How does God lead us to unexpected opportunities when doors open that you weren't aware existed? Suddenly, when you say yes, new possibilities of service and relationships grow for the purpose and love of Christ. Well, this is the story of Dave Setti. We pause here, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program, well, dear friend, is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know the one who knows you and loves you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter how tough things seem to be, I mean, you might even feel like your back is against the wall. But there is always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, my friend, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Dave Setti with unexpected opportunities, touched Dave with his love, is reaching out to you, my friend. Would you open your heart to Christ and receive him as your Savior and Lord? You know, that's our prayer. And if you already know the Lord, well, we believe this time together will be an encouragement for you. Pastor Dave Setti graduated from Westmont College with a degree in music before teaching the Bible at Portland Christian Schools. He served as an evangelistic crusade director for over 17 years with Bob Kreider Team Ministries. And for more than two decades as director of Church Now of Conservative Baptist Northwest. He's pastor of Happy Valley Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. Dave is married to Debbie Rakoff Setti. They have three married daughters and four grandchildren. Dave, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Great to hear your voice, Danny.
Dave, it is so that for me as well to hear your voice. Tell us, Dave, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Santa Barbara, California, on acreage, back when kids played in the dirt and developed great immune systems. My dad and mom were living on a 40-acre avocado ranch when I was born. My dad had planted all the trees and grafted all the trees. After I was, sometime before I turned four, I believe, we moved off of there into a tiny house, near the coast, and, another family lived next door. We were poor. They were poor. They were a black family, and there were times when their young children didn't have any clothes on, which I was so young and didn't really register with me. But that was a problem. And then they condemned those houses in order to put Highway 101 up the coast of California. and my family could not find a place in Santa Barbara that was cheap enough to rent that they could afford. So my mother's family invited them to come live on the family ranch. It had a guest cottage, four rooms. They had my brother and I already, so they made it two bedrooms, a kitchen with a little dining area, and a bathroom. And that's where I grew up for many, many years. Actually, my dad finally started a business that succeeded. He wanted to be a businessman, and so he started a window business. He sold windows to people building new houses, and eventually was selling sliding glass windows, sliding glass doors, shower enclosures, mirrors, and ultimately skylights, and that business took off. So they added on to that little four-room cottage when I was still in grade school. So it wound up becoming a 1-2-3-bedroom house with a kitchen and dining area and a living room with a fireplace and a laundry room. I remember a Ringer washer when I was young. We got by with whatever we could afford. I think I was in junior high or high school when my dad added on to that house, and it became an almost 3,000-square-foot home.
Who would you say, Dave, influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, my parents influenced me significantly. My dad, because he was a very honest man of integrity and a hard worker. My mom became involved in Bible study when I was in junior high. She started into Bible study fellowship for women, and I watched her transform right before my eyes. And that gave me a really significant respect for the scriptures and God's power to transform people through their engagement with the Word of God.
How did you see your mother transform?
She was rather domineering and really strong personality, and I watched her soften significantly and become a woman of great biblical wisdom. She went through the whole Bible study fellowship, had a series of things that you could pass through, you could do, but they didn't invite, they had such a demand to get into it that they didn't let people repeat. So she became a small group leader, and she did that for several years. And then when she left Bible study fellowship, by then she had developed disciplines for Bible study and for discipling women. And that's what she was engaged in the rest of her life.
So your mother's influence through BSF, you watching her transform your life, Dave, your personal journey of faith, how did you become a believer in Jesus?
Well, I have a recollection of kneeling by my bed alone when I was 6 and a half and asking Jesus to come into my life. And I remember being baptized when I was 10 or 11 years old. And I remember in high school reading a book called In His Steps that really challenged me. And I was the president of my youth group at the time, and I called a whole bunch of them together and said, I've just read this book. Here's the challenge. I want to challenge all of us to do this, to walk in his steps. Ask the question, what would Jesus do? That's where that question came from. And the next week of doing that was the most frustrating one of my life. I would get into a situation and think, what would Jesus do? And I'd think, I have no idea. What would he do? I don't know. So frustrating. I never called that group back together. I never I never read that book again, and that just left me kind of frustrated. When I was out of high school, I think it was my first year out of high school, our church sent a team into Mexico every spring break. And I was signed up to go, and I was really convinced that I was supposed to be on that missions trip. But it turned out it was scheduled for a weekend departure when a friend of mine, who I knew from high school, was getting married, and I had committed to doing the music for his wedding. I mean, assembling a tape of music and then playing it at his wedding. I wrestled with that. Interestingly, I went to my mom and said, "Mom, I'm really frustrated. I feel like I need to be on a missions trip, but I really feel I can't let Steve and his fiance down because they're non-Christians, and I don't want to back out on them." And she actually responded in a surprising way. She said, "Dave, you need to learn you can't do everything. You need to make a choice." Well, thankfully, by God's pure grace, that sent me to prayer. "Okay, God, what do I do? I can't let Steve and Susie down, but I feel like I'm supposed to be on that missions trip." Well, the Sunday before the mission to Mexico, I'm at church, and after church, a fellow walks up to me and he says, "Are you going on the mission to Mexico?" I said, "I want to, but I have to do a friend's wedding on Saturday, and they're leaving Friday." He said, "I can't leave until Sunday, and I'm looking for somebody to drive down with me." And I thought, unbelievable. How in the world did he think to come and find me and ask me that question? So I went on that mission, drove down with him, came back, and that got me reading the Bible more regularly. Maybe it just plain got me reading the Bible regularly. But I was home that summer, was reading the Word almost every day. My mom and dad and my two younger siblings left on a trip across the United States in their motorhome. And my dad left me in charge of his business. So for 6 weeks, he was gone. I was running his business. I kind of enjoyed that. I kind of grew up in it, so I knew it well. I was doing the bidding. I was doing the scheduling of the workers. I was dealing with customer service things. I was ordering for different jobs. I was running the whole thing. And I really thought that God was calling me to run my dad's business ultimately and give money away. But anyway, they came back, and I felt like God had directed me to go to college. And so I went to college at a college in Ottawa University, or Ottawa, Kansas, called Ottawa University. I'd been out of high school for a year, but I went as a freshman. It's a long story how I wound up there, but I was there. I got there, and I found out there weren't that many Christians there. But I found other Christians, and we formed friendships, and we began to do things together.
Dave, let me break in right there just for a moment.
You bet.
Dave Setti is who you're listening to, telling us about his journey of faith, how he grew up in a home where his mother was influenced by Bible study fellowship. He saw her transform. He's now, as a young man, just out of high school, really still in high school, running his father's business. This is all part of the steps that the Lord has taken him on his path. You might recall I mentioned early on about unexpected opportunities. You also might recall that Dave Setti grew up in Santa Barbara. When we come back, he'll share more about how he ended up at Westmont College and really how the Lord grabbed hold of his heart. It's a story that led to evangelistic work. It's a story that led to work with the Conservative Baptist denomination. even teaching high school students. How does a music major become a Bible teacher? And decades later, do something he never thought he'd do. What is that, you say? Well, I called him Pastor Dave Setti. Dave never thought that would ever happen. That's his reality today. God's unexpected opportunities, even for you today, dear friend. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, Dave Setti is the pastor of Happy Valley Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. I met Dave in the mid-1990s when he and Bob Kreider led a large group of Hawaii pastors at a prayer retreat at St. Stephen Diocesan Center, nestled in the Ko'olau mountain range. That takes Dave Setti and I back. Welcome back to our show. Danny Yamashiro here, Dave Setti, our guest. I'm here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a. Thank you for joining us. If you want to find out more about Happy Valley Baptist Church, you can go to happyvalleybaptistoregon.org. happyvalleybaptistoregon.org. So, Dave, before our break, you were telling us about your journey of faith. Take us back to how the Lord grabbed hold of your heart, and then we'll talk about Debbie, how you met Debbie. But how'd the Lord get a hold of your heart?
Well, I think the first was that mission to Mexico that He clearly sent me on, made it possible for me to go. Then I began reading the Bible regularly, and thankfully, I look back and think it's just the sheer grace of God that these things occurred the way they did. I went to college as a freshman. I'd been out of high school for a year, so I finally got to college in fall of 71. After running my dad's business for the summer. And I found that anything you could want in terms of the lust of the flesh was available at college. Mm-hmm. My roommate was not a Christian, and he said, "I don't know how the guy below us does it. He's a pimp, and I don't know why anybody would pay there's town girls that will do this all for free. And I thought, oh, God, preserve me. But it took me into the Word daily, and I found it so fascinating. God just really opened His Word to me. And so I kept studying and reading and studying and growing. And then I came home for Christmas, and then I came home after a January term. I needed to work to earn money to pay for the next term. This college at that time, this university, had seven-week sessions. So they'd have 2 7-week sessions in the fall. They'd have a January term, which the whole freshman class had to be at, and then 2 more 7-week sessions in the winter, spring. When I came home in January, I was attending the college group at my home church, and a bunch of us went out for a meal at a restaurant afterwards. And the guys who were leading it said, Dave, we want you to, you're going to teach next week. I said, I can't teach. I don't know how to do that. And they said, you weren't listening. We weren't asking. I thought, oh, God, that made me pray every day that week. Oh, God, what do you want me to say? Mm-hmm. What in the world am I going to say? And He led me to some things. I shared those things. And then I found out they expect me to keep teaching for the next 7 weeks. So I did that. Having never done anything like that before, it really drove me to my, literally, to my knees. This group had about 12 people in it. When I left to go back to college, it had hit 60 people. And I thought, what in the world is going on? But I went back to college. Had a good time initially, but I think it was in the late part of the second 7-week session. I woke up in the morning. I went to study the Bible. And this voice in my head says, you're just doing this to check it off on the list. And my response was, well, that's what I'm doing. I'm just not going to do it today. And I didn't. I got up the next day. I sat down to read the Bible. And I felt so overwhelmed with guilt from dismissing it the previous day that I couldn't bring myself to do it. And so I didn't, and I stopped. I wound up in a completely inward rebellion against God's presence in my life. I knew He was there, and I knew He had authority, and for some reason I came to resent it. And that was a very difficult period. I came home for the summer. My dad wanted me to work for him. I started doing that, but then I got sick. I got mononucleosis really bad. I'd be in bed for a few weeks. I'd finally start to feel well. I'd get up, and then bam, I'd just get hit again. And I spent the whole summer mostly in bed, sick. Finally saw a doctor in September who said, son, your tonsils they're not doing what they're supposed to. In fact, they've gotten so bad, they've gone over to the other side. They're reinfecting you every time you start to feel well. We need to get you as well as we can and get those tonsils out. So they did, and I went in the hospital. Tonsillectomy is supposed to take 15 minutes. It took them an hour to get mine out. I went home to recover. It was slow. I couldn't lay down. If I laid down, my throat hurt, so I have to sit up on a recliner. I was terrified at night. My mom would sleep on the couch in the living room where I was in the recliner. I think that went on for 2 or 3 nights. And then finally, I felt I could lay down. I asked her to call up my new best friend, Bob Kreider. We had just begun developing a relationship. That 7 weeks I was at home in February, March, he came over and I said, Bob, will you just read from the Bible maybe the Psalms. Read me a psalm. I just need to hear some comfort, something. His Bible falls open to Psalm 51, David's prayer of confession. By the time he got to, I think, verse 4, where it says, "Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight," I'm bawling like a baby. Spirit of God just pierces my soul, and I am just naked before God as a sinner. And he finally goes home. I struggle for the next several days. When I'm finally up and around, he comes to visit me, and we're walking, and I'm talking about how difficult it is, and he says, "Can you pray, oh God, I want to want you?" I said, "I could probably say that, oh God, I want to want you. I don't really, but I wish I did." That was my prayer for months, and God answered it. I couldn't believe it, but he answered my prayer. And since that time, I've sought to pursue him. What a gracious God, unbelievable God. In the fact that at the height of his blessing in my life through the reading and studying of his word in that year in college, and that he would bring me back to himself. What an incredible God.
What a tender way of describing the way the Lord has, well, some might say, the way the Lord has dealt with you, Dave Seti. His gentle care, and even the way you pray. Because someone today may be in a place close to where you were. But the words of Bob Kreider come alive in the saying, "Would you be willing to pray, I want to want you?" Would you be willing to pray that, dear friend? You may feel a gap or a distance, a barrier, as it were, between you and God. And yet there's a suppleness to your heart that's hard to describe. Well, perhaps it's a prayer that's as simple and yet profound as the prayer that Dave Seti prayed at the prompting of his dear friend, Bob Kreider. Would you be willing to pray, "Lord, I want to want you"? This may be a timely moment, even now. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll hear more from Dave Seti. We'll hear about Dave Seti, his wife, Debbie. We'll hear from Dave Seti about a ministry with Bob Kreider. A ministry that impacted so many lives. He'll share more heart to heart with you. It's a blessing to hear someone tell their story, even as Dave Seti shares his story with us today. Open up your heart for what the Lord will do in you and through you, through Dave Seti. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Dave Setti, the pastor of Happy Valley Baptist Church. You can find out more at Happy Valley Baptist, Oregon. .org again, happyvalleybaptistoregon.org. Thanks for being with us. Danny Yamashiro here, my co-host Lani Ka'a and Dave Setti.
Dave, this is Lani. Thank you so much for being with us. I love the revelation and those moments that you talked about where the Lord really captured your heart, and it was like almost a just a pause that allowed you to really commit that this is truly the relationship and that you desired it more than life itself. My interest, of course, is in how did you meet your wife and how did that relationship begin? So I guess maybe that's just me, but where and when did you meet Debbie?
Well, you've heard Danny mention my friend Bob Kreider. We were best friends. He decided to get married in 1977. To a lady out of his hometown area, and he asked me to be his best man. Well, the lady he was marrying had a best friend named Debbie Rakoff. So I met her because I was the best man and she was the maid of honor. And I remember in the wedding, I believe her bridesmaid's dress was burgundy, but I remember looking at her and thinking, wow, what would she look like in white? And I lived 3 hours away up in Santa Barbara. They lived out in an area called Yucaipa, California, east of San Bernardino and Riverside. So I didn't know her. I was just smitten with her. A year went by. Bob came down. He was in seminary, a Western seminary in Portland. During the summer, he would come down and preach at First Baptist Church in Yucaipa and give the pastor there a break. It was the pastor he'd kind of grown up under. I went down to visit him because we were working on developing some things, and they had her over for dessert or something after I had dinner with him. And I remember looking across the room at her and still thinking, my gosh, she's beautiful. I really wish I knew her. I think it was a year and a half after that, she went on a one-year mission with the Baptist General Conference called, I'm not remembering it. It had to do with evangelism. They took teams of young adults and high schoolers, and they took them for a year. Well, they'd all be out of high school because they took them for a year. And this year they were going to be, that particular year, I think it was 1979, they were going to be based in Detroit, Michigan. So maybe it was only 6 months later. They were based in Detroit, Michigan. She came up to Portland to visit her best friend, and they had me over for dinner every night while she was visiting in Portland. And that's where we kind of struck up a relationship. We began to communicate a little more by phone and by, I found out that Western Union did deliveries and telegrams. And so I made use of those here and there. And then she got back, and she came back through Portland on her way back home in late November, early December of that year. And we connected again, and I said, could I come down and see you at Christmas time? Because I'm going home to my family at Christmas. And she said, yes. So at Christmas time, I drove down from Santa Barbara to Yucaipa and met her family and stayed with them. Her parents had done some homework with Bob Kreider, and they were very, very excited to meet me for some reason. And then I drove her up to my family, and they were really pleased to meet her. And that's when I asked her to marry me. And she said, yes, but I made her think on it overnight. I'm a very deliberate kind of person. So the next morning she said yes, and I was just absolutely elated. We took a walk out on the ranch. My folks still lived on the ranch that I was raised on. Took a walk across the ranch, came back to the house, and they'd invited Bob and Jenny over for dinner because they were down visiting their family, his family in Santa Barbara. Bob says he looked at me and thought, what has that girl done to him? And we announced that we were engaged, and they were ecstatic, and we asked them to be the best man and maid of honor at our wedding.
Wow, that's amazing. So, Pastor Dave, tell us a little bit about Hot Potato Radio. That's such an interesting name. Hot Potato Radio. What is that all about?
Well, in the late 90s, Bob wanted to get on the radio on a secular station. So we were on a secular station in Portland. I think it was KOTK, something like that. And every Sunday night, we had a two-hour program where we would open up the phones and talk to people about spirituality and the Christian faith. And we had some pretty amazing non-Christian people call in, and we'd have some real interesting conversations with them. And I think when Danny visited, did we have you on the show, Danny?
That was one of my early days cutting my teeth on radio. I got a chance to be with the two of you, so thank you.
Okay, I
Dave
thought
and Bob,
so.
Hot Potato Radio, I remember that.
Yeah, and a friend of ours designed a really great logo, a hot potato wrapped in tin foil and a microphone stand.
One of those
desk stands. Yeah.
Talk about your ministry, Dave, about your work with Bob as a crusade director. You might have to explain what a crusade director did, but describe what you did together.
Okay. Well, we did crusades in single churches at first, and we would do two sets of meetings. We would come and do a weekend of meetings for the believers, seeking to call them back to their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then have some materials they would go through over the next few months to equip them to share their faith. And then we would come back 4 to 6 months later and do purely evangelistic meetings. And they were met with varying degrees of success. The first week end of meetings, that first segment of meetings, were generally really incredible. I remember the first time we did it, I was in the balcony of the church on the Sunday morning when Bob finally gave an invitation to the Christians to follow Jesus on his terms, and praying my heart out, saying, oh, God. Well, about two-thirds of the church or more responded. There was no room for them at the front and down the sides and around the platform. I just remember weeping, overcome with the response. And then we had a very interesting follow-up meeting because we came in the winter when there was a huge storm and power got out, and a lot of churches didn't even have church that Sunday, but this church did. They got the power restored. And we did see people get saved, but that was our approach. It was, I'd come to Portland to talk to Portland Christian Schools about their need for a business manager, because at the time I'd been running my dad's business for over 2 years after I graduated from Westmont. And I came up here, and I'm talking to the superintendent of the schools. They had two campuses, a K through 8 campus, and then they had, and then a 9 through 12 campus. And they're talking to me about a business manager and what a business manager would do, and they needed one really badly. And then he asked me, why was I in Portland? Because I was coming up to see Bob, and they found that out and asked me to come see him because they knew about my business background. And I told him he's a preacher. He was still a seminary student back at that time. This is in 1978. And he had preached in a church in Eastern Oregon and given an invitation that had 2/3 to 3/4 of the congregation respond. And he called me up and said, now what do I do? Well, I'd meet with a navigator representative in Santa Barbara and had developed kind of a follow-up for that kind of thing. So he had me fly up to go out to that church and do some follow-up meetings. And I told the superintendent that. So he asked me, Olga, describe what you're going to do. I described it. Why are you going to do that? Why would you take that approach? He asked me a whole bunch of pointed questions. And then he says, would you consider teaching Bible? And I just burst out laughing. I don't know how to teach Bible. My degree's in music. He said, but you love the scriptures. I said, okay, I'm guilty of that, but I don't think that qualifies me to teach high school Bible. Well, he kept pressing me because they had a teacher they were wanting to release. He was on probation that fall. And he said, what's happening? He's teaching the Bible in such a way that a majority of the students can't wait to graduate so they don't have to study the Bible anymore. Mm. And that is not the attitude we want to foster. So well, I said, I'll pray about it.
You came in, Dave, and you taught the Word. Today, you're pastoring a church in Happy Valley. What a run you had with Bob Kreider. It was an honor to meet him. And you, when we come back from our break, we'll talk a little bit more about how you came to the pastorate at Happy Valley Baptist. You're listening to Pastor Dave Setti, Happy Valley Baptist Church. Let me tell you something before we go to break. It's that Dave and Debbie Setti have the gift of hospitality. You know, Titus 1:8 says, an overseer must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Well, that's Dave Setti. And we have him with us today. When we come back, you'll hear more from him. Now, Bob Kreider had impacted many lives. Maybe when we come back, Dave will share what all God did in Bob Kreider's life. But there's a tender side to the story that you might need to hear. We'll come back. We'll talk about that powerful ministry and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So in the early days of our ministry, this is going back almost 30 years ago, I went with my crusade director, whose name was James Chappelle, and we went to Portland, Oregon, and who invited us into their home? Dave and Debbie Seti. And we learned from Dave, and we learned from Bob, and so having Dave on today really takes us back to some very, very precious times in the ministry together, and the graciousness and generosity and the way they cared for us, helped nurture us, and point us in the direction so that we could fulfill the calling of God. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a, Dave Seti, Pastor Dave Seti of Happy Valley Baptist Church is our guest. Find out more about Happy Valley Baptist at Happy Valley Baptist, Oregon. .org. Dave, before we get into our lightning round, give us a little bit of a snapshot of Bob Kreider. We talk so much about Bob. Talk about his ministry. What happened as the years went on?
Well, we had been working full-time for only a few months before we got our first request for a United series of meetings, a small community here in Oregon. That changes the whole dynamic of preparation, and so I had to learn what it meant to help five churches prepare. Thankfully, it was only five. But we wound up doing United Crusades very early on and doing both segments, doing the meetings for Christians first and seeking to call them back to Jesus and equip them for evangelism, and then moving to evangelistic outreach. And Bob was really gifted at presenting the gospel, and he was really quick on his feet in Q&A type sessions. We would, if we came into a community, we did meetings in schools, we did things on the radio, we did things at civic clubs. Every door that God would open, we would take in order to bring the gospel into that community. And we saw people get saved. I remember way out in eastern Oregon, we were just in a single church crusade. But the number of people that got saved in that was just overwhelming. The church actually struggled to follow them all up. But they were really faithful in bringing their unsaved friends to hear the gospel.
You know, one of the things I appreciate is the equipping that you have done with the church. You talk about a two-pronged approach before the event of reaching people that are that don't normally go to church, that don't know the Lord. You've equipped the body of Christ, and I see that in Ephesians, that calling of an evangelist to equip the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So what a remarkable example you and Bob have been. Take us fast forward now. It's almost like we're catching the bullet train as we begin to wrap up the show today, sort of a time warp, as it were. How did the Lord call you to be a pastor? Did you expect to be a pastor? Did you long to be a pastor as you are today?
No. No and no and no. I described my life since that fall of 78 when I was asked to teach Bible in a Christian school as a series of unrequested adventures. I didn't seek any of the opportunities. The teaching of Bible in that Christian school, working with Bob as crusade director, then what hasn't been mentioned is he and I worked for 10 years as facilitators in the pastor's prayer summits that started here in Oregon. And that's what took us to Hawaii, where we met you.
That's right.
And then God calling me away from that and not telling me where or why, but then eventually bringing me into the Conservative Baptist Association office. The new executive director had been the lead pastor in a United Crusade out in his area in Eastern Oregon that we had done years before. And then Bob got asked to candidate for the pastorate of Arcade Church in Sacramento. And so he did. And they wanted him really badly. But at that point, he had cancer. And he was waiting on a stem cell transplant, and they decided to wait. They called him in November, I think, of 2004. He went Easter Sunday of 2005, preached for several weeks, a few months, and then a stem cell transplant was arranged. He came back up here to Portland in the summer of 2005. They did the stem cell transplant. He started to recover, and then he started to decline again, and he wound up dying in December of 2005. Wow. The church had really experienced some renewal during the short time he was there. And about 200 people came to faith in Christ, I think, is what I heard. They had been reaching out. And they had a whole lot of people who thought they were Christians attending church. But Bob could make the gospel absolutely clear. And a lot of people came to faith. And he wound up calling me. He had a couple that was living together. The lady was still married to the guy she'd been married to before, but he was in jail. And he's, Dave, what do I do? Get them into the scriptures and pray like crazy. He wanted me to come down and be his associate pastor, but I just didn't feel like God was directing me that way at all. And then I had been at CB Northwest for almost 18 years. This church had a young pastor, younger, in the early 50s, great guy, but he started developing some problems. Couldn't make it through a message. He'd lose his way. Couldn't keep appointments, losing the executive function. Three times the church voted to give him 90 more days to try and figure out what was causing this. Finally, in late October, the last Sunday in October of 2017, he resigned. It wasn't discovered until the following January that he had early onset Alzheimer's. Well, because I worked with existing churches, that's why I was director of church now, and we had a director of church next, which was church planting. I got a call from the chairman of the board, and he said, Dave, we need somebody to fill our pulpit. We've got guys that can preach, but they need time to prepare messages. For once, I wasn't traveling. I looked at my schedule. I figured out they were only about 4 miles from my home. I said, what if I were to just take the month of November for you? He said, oh, that would be great. You know, sigh of relief. I came and preached first two Sundays in November. He called me in the middle of the month and said, Dave, people are asking me, why doesn't he just do it? you know, be interim pastor? I said, because the last time my boss was asked that question, he said he already has a full-time job. But I'll talk to him if you'd like. Well, I talked to my boss, and for some weird reason, he was really all in favor of me being their interim pastor. He'd been asked before and had said no by other churches. But anyway, so in January of 2018, I became their interim pastor. In January of 2019, the search committee called me and said, we met last night. We've unanimously decided we want to ask you to remove the term interim from your title and give us 2 years, and then we'll restart the search process. My wife and I prayed about it. Oh, God, nudging us to say yes. So I said yes. A year ago, I reminded them that it had been 2 years. They finally assembled a search committee. It met in September, it met in November, and it just met this last Sunday, finally. And they're developing profiles of the church community and the pastor they want to call. But I never intended to be a pastor. I never conceived of myself as one, and I still feel like I'm in the ranks of rookies learning how to do this.
Dave said you're... servant's heart, your willingness to pray the prayer, I want to want you, is emanated today as you've shared right here on this program, and it flows through your life and the decades of dedication to the Lord. And for that, Dave Setti, I'm grateful to be your friend. I'm grateful that you have been a part of our, not only our program today, but a part of our ministry at such a critical, critical time. Dear brother, thank you for being with us today and sharing from your heart.
Thank you. It's a privilege.
Timely words from Dave Setti, happyvalleybaptistoregon.org. Our dear one, God's timing is perfect. And, you know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, we believe this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation set up for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, your support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Donate. And I thank you in advance. Esther chapter 4, verse 14 says, perhaps you were born for such a time as this. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dave Setti, happyvalleybaptistoregon.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Lonnie Ka'a, technical producer Chaz Ontai, web designer Arlen Nagata, operation directors Aaron Custodio and Joshua Main of Salem, Hawaii, and Salem, Seattle. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.